Check. Why didn't they turn on the heat in your? Wait a minute. Okay, so you wait. We're in winter times right now. You're saying your building doesn't have heat?
Yeah. No. I mean, it has heat.
Oh, mic check one. Mic check one.
Yeah,
okay.
Mic
sorry.
Two.
All right. What were you saying?
Yeah, the guy's just too damn cheap. Oh, you know, he's got his priorities in order, you know, like be in miserable conditions, but, you know, save a few dollars, you know, it's all worth it.
Yeah, over here they turn the heat up way too high, and then we have to have a window open. We have to have windows open all the fucking time. Like winter, summer, there's always a window open because it's always too fucking hot.
Yeah.
Which is like, I guess, you know, like in comparison to your problem, it's not that bad because you're fucking freezing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But is it better now? Is there light at the end of this tunnel?
No, unless I move out.
Oh, so
unless I get more money so I could afford something else.
We're fucked in that department. Both of us are not getting more money. Both of us are not getting better jobs. I mean, not now, but in the future.
In the future, if we do something about it.
Well, yeah, we got to do something. I don't know what. Yeah, let's figure that out.
Yeah.
All right, let's start the show. Loading program. It's time for loot update, bitches. No ratings. No date calculating.
No more waiting. No update. This is a nerd update. Nerd it up.
Day. Hey. It's time for the nerd update today. Day. What's going on, people? What's going on, Armando?
Hey, lots of stuff.
Lots, like what, Armando?
Like.
Don't lie. Don't fucking lie. Don't you fucking lie to them.
I slept.
Oh, okay. That's a truth. I did sleep.
Got out of bed and I took the train.
That is true. These are facts. They happen.
These are facts.
We will be talking about more facts
in
the show.
Go fact check it.
This is just the beginning of the facts. But guys, it's time to do your nerd update. Mike Zimmer here, joined with Armando Aranda, Team Awesome Inc. We're like semi-live yet again at the Awesome Pad in Astoria, Queens. Been working out of Sound Works. Also in Astoria, Queens, it's literally just like, it's super fucking close, isn't it? Like, Armando just came from there because we're not doing the show there today. We're doing it at the Awesome Pad. Sorry.
Yeah, I told him
another location. Sorry, dude. Good news is that we finally got Alex Chansey back on the show, and we had that nerd update up. So if you haven't heard it yet, check it out. So we finally got him on, and God, we did a crazy-ass long nerd update. It was like an hour and 20 minutes. Because, like, we missed out on Alex's audio almost 2 hours worth of audio?
Right.
Because we didn't have the storage. Now that we got this fucking terabyte of storage, man, it is tearing that shit up.
Yeah, you could probably record audio for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's going to be that, like, that's going to be there forever and ever past my own demise. And that's fine. There's lots of things that are going to be here after I die. Like Mount Rushmore, possibly. If it's not blown up, who knows why it would be blown up.
God, right? That's the first place Russia will hit.
Yeah, Russia's going to go after Mount Rushmore just to prove a point.
Right.
That's what we think of your forefathers. Like, kaboom. Fucking dicks. No, they're actually on our side now, aren't they? Aren't we, like, friends again? Anyway, we're doing a nerd update.
Yeah.
But follow our tweets at Team Awesome Inc. Follow Soundcast tweets at SoundcastFM. Again, we're live there once a week, generally. We've been like on and off again there live. We may end up being at Soundcast once a month or twice a month just because SoundWorks is so close and we can do a lot more trailer reactions here and at the studio at SoundWorks. And we can do a lot more recording and have guests over there. So it's like the live show, it'll be like a special thing that we do with a guest. Like, and I'm thinking musical guests, like when we have Andreana Santiago on, or Stoddard Blackall on, like when we have these guests back on, or musical guests, I feel like the live show better suits that kind of a thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Like when we play the improv games, like Awesome Hypotheticals, You're Welcome Hollywood. So we'll be doing more of that stuff at Soundcast, throughout, like, the year, but we're still building up and gearing up towards doing a tour at the end of this year. So there's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
Building towards that, figuring out the logistics of doing a tour and how we're going to do it, where we'd like to go, and if we're going to document it, if we're going to film it,
Get a cameraman.
Well, that's the thing. Alex Chancy, writer, director, indie filmmaker, he likes to do documentaries, and if we could get him to document and to follow us around as we do this, it'd be a way to sort of sell the tour. If you guys want to help contribute towards the tour, help contribute towards the production, you can send any of your donations to yotina.podomac.com. That's our website. Again, yotina.podomac.com. We got a PayPal button there. Half of every donation that you send will benefit the Ovarian Cancer Research Fund. It's a great cause, helping women out all over the world and in America with ovarian cancer problems such as research, treatment, and funding. If you want to directly donate to them, go to the OCRF.com. Again, OCRF.com. They're doing God's work. I'm not a religious person, but fuck, they're doing God's work. And I'm sorry I curse, but man, if it's not for the people like them doing that kind of work, like it would make life really harder on people who are suffering. A lot of people wouldn't have survived because of the work of the ovarian cancer if they weren't around. So thank you to them. Big shout out. All right, guys, let's get into the nerd update. Are you ready for this, Armando?
Mm-hmm.
Who also does musical improv with me?
Mm-hmm.
On Space Mango.
Mm-hmm.
Check us out on Facebook, Space Mango.
Okay.
Thank you. I just wanted that last one. All right, nerd update. Production on the untitled Han Solo Star Wars anthology film. They're still fucking calling it that, man. Jesus Christ. The untitled Han Solo Star Wars anthology film. They kicked off filming on that less than 2 weeks ago, so they're filming it. But it seems that there are still a few more roles to fill, as Variety has reported that Thandi Newton is currently in talks to join the upcoming Star Wars spinoff. Naturally, nothing of any substance has been revealed as to which character Thandi Newton would be playing, but those of you who have seen the actress kick some ass as Maeve on HBO's Westworld, fucking shout out to Westworld, love that show, and she is a badass as Maeve on Westworld, you guys know that she would almost assuredly be an asset to the Phil Lord and Christopher Miller directed film. Should negotiations with Newton go forward, she would be joining Alden Ehrenreich, which is the most German name I've ever heard, who's playing Han Solo. Donald Glover, who's playing motherfucking Lando Calrissian, which is the best casting I've ever heard in my life. And then, of course, we've got Emilia Clarke, who's in there, and Woody Harrelson. Yeah, Woody Harrelson. Did you know that Woody Harrelson's going to be in the untitled Han Solo spinoff film? Do you think he's playing his dad? I think he's playing his dad. Sorry, I don't know why I'm sounding like a dick, but like knowing that Woody Harrelson is in this film, I feel like he's playing Han Solo's like illegitimate dad or whatever.
Dad Solo.
I'm Han Solo. What's your dad's name? Dad Solo. What's your dog's name? Dog Solo. What's your cat's name? Han Kitty.
Solo.
Cat's Chewbacca's. The cat belongs to Chewbacca. So, yeah, we still don't know what the fuck the untitled Han Solo Star Wars anthology film is called, other than it's... Man, these Star Wars anthology films, like A Star Wars Story, I mean, just say Star Wars Han Solo, you know? Stories or Han Solo's Star Wars stories.
Film? Like, it's just one movie? I thought it was going to be like a series.
It's supposed to be a one-off, but it may end up being like two more movies. It might be a trilogy. Who knows? But check this out. Phoebe Waller-Bridge is also in the movie, and she's not in the movie. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, she's in a show called Fleabag or a movie called Fleabag. I don't know. She's also being eyed for a role which is said to be a CGI character who will be a significant part of the ensemble, similar to key Star Wars characters in the past like Chewbacca, C-3PO, and most recently Alan Tudyk's K-2SO in Rogue One. So she's going to be
Jar Jar Binks.
So she's playing Jar Jar Binks. She's playing a fucking CGI character where she's going to have like ping pong balls all over her fucking gray or green suit that's really unflattering. And the rest of the cast has a fucking, like, you know, they all have practical, like real clothes, and then they're standing there in green tights, just looking around, like, trying to act normal, and everyone's like, you stick out like a fucking green thumb, man. You look weird, but we gotta act, so it really forces the actors to work harder, obviously, and in post-production, it looks better. I mean, K-2SO, I felt, looked better than Grand Moff Tarkin. Like, the robot in Rogue One looked better than Grand Moff Tarkin and CGI Carrie Fisher. And it was a fucking CGI robot. I mean, granted, it's easier to fake things that aren't real living tissue.
Right.
Granted, that's easier to CGI. But if you're going to like have the balls to try and CGI Carrie Fisher or God, what's his name? The guy who played Grand Moff Tarkin. That actor, try and recreate them in the film, and then you know hire someone to superimpose them. It's I don't know. I'm like, why don't you just not do that? Like they're dead. They're like why like if they're still alive, like Michael Douglas or Robert Downey Jr. did in the Marvel films, they youngified themselves, but they're still alive to do it.
Right.
They're still alive to like still fill in to be like the template and act in the scene and physically be themselves so that they can then put the youngifier filter over it or whatever the fuck it is in Hollywood that they do and do it that way. So I have issues with that is all I'm saying with the CGI characters. Everyone does. If it's not done well enough, it takes you out of the film. And if it's done too well, you get dependent upon it. And then it kind of ruins you for other shittier ones. So where do you stand on the whole CGI character thing? I mean, it seems to be like like what they're going to be doing from now on in Star Wars is there's always going to be one character that there's an actor wearing ping pong balls.
I don't mind. I mean,
it's the future of acting, goddammit.
I prefer the puppets, actually.
Yeah, right? Like practical effects.
Yeah, I mean, as long as... Well, you know what? At least use an actor or at least use like some sort of prop or something that, you know, the actors could actually react to in real time.
Well, I mean, I appreciate that they're still trying to integrate acting with this stuff because, like, that's, like, you know, like, good. Like, they want to keep actors working. They know that only a human and only an actor can find a way to emote a certain way and portray a character a certain way. If your CGI is based upon like your own idea
results.
Of the emotions of what you think the emotions would be based,
right.
And you're basing that on what you think it would be instead of what the actor is showing you, it makes it so much easier to just render that character. And it's like, I don't know if that character would be sad. Well, what's the actor doing? Oh, they're smiling. Okay, so the character would probably have more, be smiling in that moment or whatever. Like they use it as it's a reference point. You know, so I'm okay with that. It's like a new school puppeteering. It's like using your body, using CGI, using these ping pong balls and these strategically placed dots as a puppet. It's like using your body as a tool to act. And part of me is like, that's cool. And that helps like with the future of acting. But and another part of me is like, damn, that kind of fucks up what they're going to do in the future with acting. Because like they're just going to phone it in from now on if that's the case, because it's just more cost effective.
Right, but you can't get the best performances out of, like...
Do you think they care?
Maybe not.
I don't think they give a shit about the best performances anymore, unless it's, like, you know, an Oscar-worthy film. Otherwise, they only care about the bottom line. It's Hollywood. They just want to make money.
Right.
They don't give a fuck. Like, that's why Grand Moff Tarkin looked like shit. They knew that they could just crank out a Star Wars
You'll
movie.
You'll watch it anyway.
You'll watch it anyway. Go fuck you, Disney. Suck it, America. We're Disney. like it's pretty much their slogan. No, God, no. Please keep making Star Wars movies. I'm sorry that I'm so critical. Look, I just want them to be better. I hope this...
Me too.
So here's the thing. Thandie Newton is an African-American actress, and there's been a lot of talks about Han Solo having a child. Like, in the comics, you remember I told you that what if Finn was the son of Han Solo? Because in the comics, Han Solo had a same-sex, not same-sex, I wish same-sex, that'd be great. Him and Chewbacca, that would explain a lot.
Hmm.
But that's not same-sex, that would be
interspecies.
Interspecial relations. Gets complicated. No, but he had like, interracial relationship with a woman, and in the comics that created a little boy. And that little boy grew up. You know how sex works, right, Armando?
What?
Well, there's a magic wizard.
What?
And he shows up.
Yeah.
And he grants your mommy and daddy one wish, and they can choose whether they want to have a baby or a new TV.
Wow.
And if they decide they want the baby, they don't get the new TV, and then they resent you for the rest of their lives.
That explains a lot.
I know, right? That's how it works. And then the wizard says, "You are now pregnant." And the lady says, "Thank you, sir." And she takes a curtsy. The wizard takes his wizard hat off and bows. The gentleman also curtsies because he's not a wizard.
Right.
And then
which basically just
makes
you.
And then they go off, and then that's how a baby's born.
Hmm.
I Duh, I'm surprised you didn't fucking know that.
Sorry.
God, you're such an idiot. All right, anyway, this untitled Han Solo Star Wars anthology film, Jesus Christ, is set to hit theaters on May 25th, 2018. But there have been rumors that it will be pushed back to December because Star Wars movies come out in December. So that's why. I'm fine with that. I mean, the more time they give these movies to develop and like really get better, the better the movie becomes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. Like Episode 8 started filming right after Episode 7 ended and they were doing Rogue One. Rogue One started filming like while Episode 8 finished. You know what I mean? Like they just started like filming all of these movies and now they're shooting this new Han Solo film with Donald Glover as Lando. I think that's fucking great casting. I mean, I can't think of anyone better to play a young Lando Calrissian than Donald Glover. I mean, I can't. Maybe Michael B. Jordan, that was like my first pick, but he could be in anything. You know, the guy's super talented. He can be in anything. Give Donald Glover a chance in a fucking Star Wars movie to play like a classic iconic character and he will not let you down. The dude is talented. Alden Ehrenreich, sorry, I keep saying it like that, but his name is fucking super German. He has a lot to prove as Han Solo, man. Like most of the shit rests on his shoulders. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, think about it. You got to play Han Solo.
Yeah.
Way to go. Have fun. Good luck, asshole.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, you got to try and reinvent this character and turn it into like a James Bond of Star Wars. Don't George Lazenby this shit.
Oh, man. Those are some shoes to fill.
Oh, my gatto, Mr. Roboto. So we'll see how it goes. I'm thinking Finn is probably maybe the son of Han Solo. That would be cool. Like he's related to Rey. Mm. And that's why they know each other. Or that's why they have such a connection. Like that's why they kept running into each other like on Jakku. Like that's why they had a Force connection. I'd like to think that.
What about the midichlorians?
JJ already said that the midichlorians were a mistake. It was the Jedi Council. They were drunk.
Oh really? He did?
Yeah. He reneged on the midichlorians. He said they're not a thing. They're not a thing. It was science's way of trying to describe the Force.
Oh, thank God.
Science.
Thank God.
It was science saying, "Hey, this is how we're going to measure the Force, but there's no way to really measure the Force clearly." So it's okay. JJ made it okay. It's not a fucking blood disease. It's not like being anemic or something. It's like, oh, you have the Force. You gotta like take these pills, like iron.
Thank you, Force truthers.
Yeah, you need to take iron like 3 times a day. You have the Force. I'm sorry. Oh no, not the Force. I have a blood deficiency. It's midichlorians. These fucking midichlorians. So I mean, yeah. I mean, what do you think? I mean, Thandie New. I mean, you probably aren't familiar with her. I loved her. I love her in Westworld. I haven't seen her in anything other than Westworld. She's tremendous. I'm curious about this CGI character, and I'm also curious about Woody Harrelson. What about you?
It looks good. It looks like a good idea. I hope they
don't fuck it up.
Yes.
You're pissed off. You're still pissed off about Rogue One, aren't you?
Kind of.
See, that's why you're like, I hope they look. It sounds like a good idea, but I've been burned before.
Yep.
Okay. Did you like Force Awakens?
Force Awakens? I did like Force Awakens.
Out of 10, what did you give it? I can't remember. I can't remember what we gave it.
I gave it a rating.
We all rated it. You weren't there.
Yeah.
It was Chris Nauman and Alex Chansey and myself. And I think I remember I gave it an 8.5.
Mm.
I was a little bit harsher on it than everyone else. Mm-hmm. Chris actually gave it a 9 because he said he was entertained by it. Alex Chansey, I think, said he gave it a 9 as well. I was the one who gave it the lowest rating, hyped.
I probably gave it an 8.
But then I loved Rogue One, and you hated Rogue One. So I'm like, damn. I'm like, that's where I want Star Wars to head, is in that kind of Rogue One direction where they take risks.
Oh, well, I mean.
But if it sucks for people who enjoy Star Wars like a certain way, or they have certain expectations when they see a Star Wars movie, like they want it to be good. Like they want the first act to not be boring and the second act to be fucking amazing. Like a lot of people felt that way about Rogue One, but I'm thinking that with the talent that's involved with this again untitled Han Solo Star Wars anthology film, Jesus Christ, Disney.
Well, I mean, just focus on the characters and the story first and foremost.
Star Wars Han Solo, like Chapter One. There you go. Star Wars Han Solo Chapter One, the Kessel Run. There you go. You're welcome. You're fucking welcome, Hollywood. You're welcome, Disney. I just gave you your title. You can literally. I bet they've been ripping us off, like because we were talking about doing a heist movie with Lando and having a young Lando there. We've been talking about this for years. I think they gave up on trying and they've just been listening to this fucking show and ripping us off because we called Alden Ehrenreich as Han Solo before they casted him officially. Mm. We just like randomly threw that out. I threw out Michael B. Jordan and then I said if not, like I said Donald Glover would be cool, but I don't think they'd ever do that because they'd think he's too comedic and they'd never go with him, but he would be cool to do. And I have the audio to prove it, you assholes.
Well, Disney, if you're listening, just like know that.
Call it Star Wars Han Solo Chapter 1. The Kessel.
I don't fucking care. You could just keep calling it untitled Han Solo Star Wars anthology film.
I'll probably still see it.
Yeah, you will. You know
I'll
you
see
will.
It. Even if it's called, I'll be like, well, I can't believe they actually kept the title. Like they kept that shitty. It's the untitled Han Solo Star Wars anthology film.
And the subtitle will be sorry.
Yeah, be like sorry, we couldn't come up with a better title. Like in brackets, and you're like, and you have to call it that. The untitled Han Solo Star Wars anthology film. Sorry, we couldn't come up with a better title. But it's a good movie, so you should go see it anyway. Fuck, this is a long title, man. They're not even trying anymore with the titles. They're just throwing them out there. They're like, fuck you, you're going to see it anyway. Damn it, every time. It's coming out May 25th, 2018. May get pushed back to December. What do you think? Do you want to just make December like the month that there's a new Star Wars movie? I'm fine with that. Are you like if they just every year on December a new Star Wars movie comes out, okay.
That's
fine. It gives people, like, everyone can watch Star Wars on Christmas or whatever. You know what I mean? Or on Hanukkah, or on Kwanzaa, or on Ramadan, or on the other ones.
You know, it might stop a few suicides.
You know what? It could. It very well could save some lives, some holiday
Sorry
cheer.
Sorry for that effed up thought.
Don't. Dude, I was thinking, you know what? Like, a lot of lonely nerds.
It's a reason to live.
A lot of lonely nerds on the holidays will have a reason to not kill themselves, and that reason will be to go see the next Star Wars movie.
I can't kill myself now,
guys, we're making these jokes because we've had these thoughts, okay? It's okay, we can joke about it, we feel this way,
okay?
If you
haven't been depressed and if you're a happy person, fuck
yeah,
you
go fuck yourself, happy people. Next article after that, I think I think it's safe to say that we're super amped about it. And to finally get a release date and to know that it's going to be, like, instead of a December release, a May release, to know that it's going to be a little bit sooner, that's pretty cool. So as soon as we see Episode 8, we'll literally be able to go, like, a few months later and go check out the Han Solo movie.
Right.
If that's the plan. Otherwise, I don't mind waiting another year. I think a year is cool to wait. Fuck it.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Fans have been waiting for a third installment of Bill and Ted for quite some time, and despite the yearly reassurances that they're working on it, quote-unquote,
really?
Yeah, yearly assurances that they've been working on it, quote-unquote, I'd imagine that most of you aren't holding your breath. Both Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter certainly seem happy to return as the excellent duo, and Reeves recently teased a few details about the potential threequel, while promoting John Wick Chapter 2 on the Graham Norton show in London. After joking that the title would be Bill and Ted Still Alive, Keanu Reeves says that just seeing Bill and Ted in their 50s would be enough to make him laugh before elaborating on the cool story they have in the works. All right, we got a story, finally, after fucking decades of wondering what another Bill and Ted movie would be about. This is the idea that Keanu Reeves has. Basically, they're supposed to write a song to save the world, and they haven't done that yet. So the pressure of having to save the world, you know, their marriages are falling apart, their kids are kind of mad at them, but then someone comes from the future and tells them if they don't write the song, it's just not the world now, it's the universe. So they have to save the universe because time is breaking apart, so then elements of the past come in. Whoopi Goldberg, who was seated next to Reeves, then spoke up and said that she must be that person. I have to be that person from the future. I have to be. Gracious as always, Reeves immediately said, "You're in it." I would love that. If Whoopi Goldberg was the like bad guy from the future, but like come on, how appropriate would that be for Bill and Ted 3?
Right.
To have Whoopi Goldberg be the villain. So it goes on to say, "Will we ever see Bill and Ted 3? Well, a lot of people wouldn't put their money on it, but Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves continued enthusiasm for the franchise does leave people with a sliver of hope that one day Bill and Ted will be back. And for their sake, here's hoping it'll be worth it. I love that idea. I think that's a great idea because you leave.
Wait, I thought Bill and Ted saved the future in the second movie.
Yeah, so here's the thing. They write a song. Okay, it gets complicated because it's time travel. Mm-hmm. And whenever you get talk about time travel, things get all wonky and fucked up. Right. And it's Bill and Ted, so it's even more wonky and fucked up because it's Bill and Ted.
Right.
Okay, in the first Bill and Ted, they had to form Wild Stallions,
right,
which was their rock band, because they wrote a song that united the world and saved the world and brought the world to peace through mm-hmm. their music.
Yeah.
So Rufus, played by George Carlin at the time, came back in time and said, look, you guys have to do this. You have to save the world. But you become the greatest like rock stars ever, and your music unites the world and creates peace and blah, blah, blah. So here's a time machine. We're going to help you on your way to becoming the greatest rock stars ever and to, you know, and then help you pass high school exam. Which is really important. Super important that you pass your high school exam with actual...
To be a rock star, yeah.
Yeah, fucking the timelines up of Napoleon, Joan of Arc. Who else? Abraham Lincoln. Genghis Khan. Like, it's a list of who's who of all the timelines they're fucking up. But, they do that anyway to pass the grade at San Dimas High School. San Dimas football rules! And then the second one, they were killed.
Mm-hmm.
Because... people from the future wanted to stop Bill and Ted from uniting right. the universe and saving the day. So they sent,
there was like an evil Bill and Ted, right?
Yeah. They sent back like an evil Bill and Ted or something like that. And the evil Bill and Ted, that they were, we're you from the future. Like, really? Yeah, we're totally you from the future. And they're like, oh, okay, we've done this before. So, like, where are we going? Over here. And like, what are we doing? Nothing. And then they push him over and they kill him. So Bill right. and Ted die. And then they meet Death and they play Death. Here's the funny thing about Bill and Ted too. All the moments that they're playing Death at the board games and they kick his ass at every game and Death is just so frustrated. He's like, can we play chess, please? And they're like, nope, it's our game. We can pick it. And he's like, best 5 out of 6. Best 5 out of, come on, you guys. And like, he's got this German accent. Did you know I can't remember the actor's name. It's William something, not H. Macy, but tremendous actor, played Death in Bill and Ted 2.
Yeah, he was very tall.
But the whole idea of that movie was they were trying to stop, they were trying to kill them. So they come back from heaven and hell to save the day. But in the second one, they go into the future, learn how to play their instruments better, and then come back in time into that moment to save the day then. So that's right. what was supposed to have happened. They had already gone into the future, become great musicians, and went back into the past to rock everyone's socks off and to create the best song in the world. And that's where we left off.
Right.
We left off with them having these like excellent skills and becoming great rock stars. Mm. This is what he's saying is the third one is
they haven't written the song that
saved the world yet. They're still rock stars. They still got these awesome skills. They got married to the babes. Remember the babes?
Yeah,
the babes. We got to save the babes. Yeah. So they're married to the babes, but their marriages to the babes are falling apart. They got kids that fucking hate them. Like they didn't write the song that saved the world.
Right.
And they're like, what the fuck are we going to do? We're in our 50s. What the fuck? Like, and that's the plot. I'm down. Like, considering that they're clearly following the history of Bill and Ted and they're being true to the franchise and the ridiculousness of the storyline, I'm down. I think this is great. I hope they make it happen. I mean, with nostalgia being a huge thing these days and fan service and all that,
mm-hmm.
Keanu Reeves is in great shape still. He's doing John Wick 2. He's in his 50s. Alex Winter is still around doing shit. He's in his... come on, man. Just bring him back. Yeah. Fucking do it. Everyone wants to see this. And you can do a lot of really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Man, make Whoopi Goldberg the villain, by the way.
Or, I don't know. She could be the Rufus.
She could be the George Carlin Rufus, unless they want to, you know, use CGI and youngify of another actor that kind of looks and sounds like George Carlin and then superimpose old footage of George Carlin into the movie and then pay the estate of George Carlin $50 million and that's what the future of acting is going to be, is we're going to recycle all these dead actors and all their old footage That's fucked up, man.
Zombie actors.
Yeah, but if not that, get Whoopi Goldberg. If you can't do that, get Whoopi. That's all I'm saying,
people. I think
she
could do a Rufus.
Oh, hell yeah, she could do a Rufus. She'd be great. She'd be a great time traveling, like, you know, like, hey, I'm a time traveler. I'm from the future. I'm here to tell you guys to get your shit together. You're 50 years old.
It's time you got your groove back.
Look, Whoopi Goldberg is here to help you get your groove back and also to knock their fucking shit in order, man. Like, because they're 50 years old and they still haven't written the song that united and saved the world. Like, for fuck's sake. I mean, they could have saved the fucking world. And they didn't. I'm sorry. There's no need to go that far. Like, it's a fact, all right? It's a fact. It had nothing to do with Bill and Ted.
But, I mean, be excellent to each other is a good philosophy. I don't know why that didn't work.
Be excellent to each other. Go forth and be excellent to one another. I'm down with that, yeah. And I'm down with this Bill and Ted 3. Let's hope they can make it happen. I think there's an audience for it. I think it'll happen. It's just a matter of time. Now, moving from goofy to bizarrely goofy, just yesterday, John Carpenter made the rather surprising announcement that David Gordon Green and, get this, Danny McBride, yeah, from Eastbound and Down, Danny McBride, comedic actor. He was in This Is the End. You know, fucking Danny McBride. They've signed on to write and direct the upcoming remake of Halloween. John Carpenter has greenlit Danny McBride and David Gordon Green to do a remake of Halloween. But fucking Rob Zombie just did a Halloween remake. They're letting anyone do it now. They're letting Rob Zombie do it. Yeah, they're letting Danny McBride.
5 years later, there's going to be another remake.
They'll give it to Justin Bieber next. Fucking hand it off to Bieber. They'll give it to anyone, apparently. John Carpenter doesn't give a fuck. I mean, I don't know. Danny McBride's going to be in Alien Covenant, so maybe he's turning into a Bill Murray.
He also did The Thing, right, John Carpenter?
Yeah, John Carpenter did The Thing. Yeah. It was a remake of the original The Thing. Yeah. But Danny McBride was...
Oh, yeah.
Danny McBride's in Alien Covenant. And I think he's trying to do a Robin Williams or a fucking Bill Murray where, you know, he's just trying to, like, he's, like, doing comedy still, but, like, he wants to do more dramatic stuff. He wants to do more serious stuff. And I think that this is his way of, he's trying to break into a more serious thing. But we got a quote from Danny McBride. While speaking with Cinema Blend, Danny McBride revealed that the film will not be a remake, but rather carry on with the story of Michael Myers, which Carpenter set up so perfectly all those years ago. And here's the quote. "It's going to continue the story of Michael Myers in a really grounded way," said McBride. "And for our mythology, we're focusing mainly in the first two movies and what that sets up, and then where the story can go from there. The continuity of the Halloween franchise has never been all that coherent, so it's probably for the best that the bulk of it will be ignored." Yeah, I agree. Much of the first two Halloween movies takes place on October 31st, 1978. So the first two movies take place on that date in 1978, October 31st, Halloween, 1978. So if Green and McBride's sequel really will be a continuation of that story, is it possible that the film will be set in October 31st, 1978? Michael Myers is on a killing spree still in that year, in that day, on that night? I mean, because, you know, when he got shot, what was it? The first one, he got shot by Dr. Loomis, and then he got up and left. And then the second one, Jamie Lee Curtis is in the hospital. It's the same night. And he's still alive, and he's trying to get her in the hospital. And then she runs away, and he's chasing her. And then the third one had nothing to do with any of that shit. It was about, like, kids wearing masks and shit. It was fucking weird. I don't know what the fuck that one was about. And then the fourth one, he came back. And they didn't even acknowledge that the third one happened. They didn't even say, like, hey, remember that one, that Halloween movie we did about masks and shit? Yeah, that was weird. Where was Michael Myers? I don't know. Was he off? Was he on vacation? I don't know.
He took the day off.
I think he took the day off. I think he took Halloween off that year. Like, I think he was in the Poconos, man. Regardless, I'm just curious to see what a Danny McBride Halloween continuation. So I like that idea. I think if they're going to, like, because what made Halloween so successful was it was the first of its kind. It was a slasher movie. Like, right. I mean, yeah, you had Psycho, but Halloween was the first time that you had an unstoppable killing machine run it like a human, like, dude, like, walk around, like, just stab, stabby, stab, stab. I'm wearing a mask. I'm just a killer. I don't care. I have no feelings. I'm a killing machine.
Well, when did Texas Chainsaw Massacre come out? Well,
Leatherface was screaming and happy the entire time he was murdering those kids. All right? Michael Myers, he's wearing a William Shatner mask. He just spray painted it. He's quiet. There's no laughter. We don't see him smiling. There's no implication of joy. He just kills. Leatherface is having a good old time. He's dancing with his chainsaw. Mm. They call it the chainsaw dance. He's like they love it. They love what they do. they're great killing machines down in Texas. It's these fucking northern killers, these Michael Myers types that just, you know, they're slow. It's like Jason, you know? It's like, yeah. Who would win in a fight between Jason and Michael Myers? Like, the answer is infinity. They would just keep fighting. Like,
right.
It would never end. Like the world would end and they'd still be trying to kill each other. So that, like, and technically I think they're kind of the same guy. Like, I think Jason just puts on a fucking William Shatner mask, goes and like.
No, you mean Michael Myers, and then Jason.
I think Jason puts on a Michael Myers mask.
Uh huh.
Like he puts on, because Michael Myers mask is a William Shatner mask that's been spray painted white.
Uh huh.
So he puts on a William Shatner mask, becomes Michael Myers.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he's not being Jason.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And like he has two jobs. Okay. Like it's one guy with two jobs. Jason is Michael Myers. That's my fan theory. I'm proposing today on the show that Michael Myers and Jason are the same, because we know the origins of the two. We don't like, but they both have the same, like they both have the same thing. They both do the same thing.
Right.
They just kill people and they don't die. They don't talk. They don't do anything else. They have no characters. There's nothing. They just kill. There's no character to them. We superimpose whatever weirdness, like psychologically, onto them because they're silent.
Right.
It's the same fucking person. They're the same.
Well, we kind of know Jason's
Maybe
story.
That's the direction they're going to take with this. But to set it in 1978 on the same night, if that's what they're going to do, or if it's like the next day, or I don't know. Like, I just think that's cool to keep it in those first two movies. Mm. Like, I would go with that. I would say if I were as a studio executive, or if I had a choice, I'd be like, what would the people like to see? Would they like a throwback? Would they like fan service? Would they like to go back to 1978, October 31st, the same night that Jamie Lee Curtis like got away from Michael Myers, you know, like twice on Halloween night? Do we want to go back to that Halloween night later on in that night? And he couldn't get Jamie Lee Curtis, so he went after somebody else. How fucking cool would that be?
What a night.
He's like, I couldn't kill her. I couldn't kill my sister. So I guess I'll go kill my cousin or I'll go kill my grandpa.
This isn't turning out so well.
Yeah, I can't kill her. I've killed everyone but her. Oh, well, I'll go after somebody else, I guess. Or maybe I'll still go after her, and then they'll youngify Jamie Lee Curtis. They'll have her. Oh, man. Oh, see, this is the future of Hollywood. They're just going to keep rehashing the same shit. They're just going to youngify her, superimpose.
And I'm sure it'll look amazing.
Yeah, it won't look like fake, cheap shit at all. So get this. The next Halloween that Danny McBride is going to be directing and writing with David Gordon Green, it's going to hit theaters October 18th, 2018. Next year, we're going to get more or less like a Danny McBride version of Halloween. But it's going to, like, what do you think? Do you like that concept?
I mean, I'm not big into horror myself. Like,
but I mean, as far as the concept of keeping it in that era and like keeping it in the same night, like literally going back in time and saying what happened later that night. Did Michael Myers just disappear? Did he just still try and kill people? It was still Halloween. Like, you know.
Well, I mean, it's so much, you know, like Halloween came out like how many years ago?
Well, let's
like,
see. If it came out in 1978 and it's 2017 now.
Right. I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm thinking it's about 40 some years.
39 I'm saying it's years. Like, I don't think it should heavily rely on the previous movies.
But but how can you not? I mean, it's John Carpenter.
They could do it in the same era. I'm just saying, they just don't assume the audience knows everything.
No, they won't. They won't. I'm like, seriously, they're going to have to start from scratch.
Yeah,
like,
basically.
It's
going
to have
to
be a soft reboot.
I mean, yeah.
That's kind of like what The Force Awakens was. It was like a soft reboot.
Yeah.
It was like the first Star Wars, but like, you know, not.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
They had a Death Star.
I won't go there.
I know, right? So, I mean, why don't they just, like, they'll just do a soft reboot with this, and we'll just keep getting soft reboots, and they'll just keep bringing this shit back.
Yeah, it's the same story.
The same stories all over again. But you know what? If they, I think it would be cooler if they kept it in that same era. I just don't want them to modernize it. I don't want them to reboot it. I don't want a soft reboot. I want them to, I think if they kept it in that same night, like just later on, and they kept it period appropriate, and they, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's a lot of really cool stuff they can do. Right. I mean, nostalgia is big right now. Look at Stranger Things. That takes place in the fucking 80s, and people are eating that shit up.
Yeah.
Like Mad Men, that's the 50s. That show was on forever, and it's like huge. You set this movie in the 1970s and keep it true to like that era, and it would be so cool to see that movie.
Right.
And it would make Halloween seem a little bit more like legit. It would be like, oh wow, like they're taking it seriously. They're going back to that night, and they're going to recreate some stuff, and they're going to say, well, this is what happened later on that night. I think that would be cool, but they're probably going to fuck it up and make it modern. To finish my thoughts. Like, that's what I'd like to see, but they're going to fuck it up and make it modern. So it comes out October 18th, 2018, next year. Next nerdy, nerdy story. So while looking incredible on the red carpet, Turner spoke with HeyYouGuys.com saying, oh yeah, so this is about the next X-Men movie. This is interesting. So here's the update. The lady who played Jean Grey, last name Turner, can't remember her first name, Sophie Turner? No, I don't know. She says that we're about to start shooting the next X-Men. We've just finished shooting season 7 of Game of Thrones, and I've got a couple of movies to do before X-Men starts, and then we go on to season 8 of Game of Thrones. Turner's involvement in the next X-Men film sequel comes as no surprise, especially when you consider that Turner's Jean Grey character is now the primary since X-Men Apocalypse performed a soft reboot of sorts on the franchise. Now, because the details of the next X-Men related film are real loose at the moment, we're not going to go ahead and post like unofficial synopsis or talk about unofficial synopsises or synopsises. But what we can tell you is that Simon Kinberg is expected to revisit the classic Marvel Comics storyline, the Dark Phoenix saga, when bringing the next chapter of Mutant Mayhem to the big screen. Dark Phoenix saga. Remember that from... Do you remember the animated X-Men when they did the Dark Phoenix saga?
In the 90s?
In the 90s, yeah. Remember that storyline?
Well, yeah.
They've been trying to do that for fucking ever. They've been teasing that, and they tried to do it a little bit in one of the movies, and then they tried to do it a little bit in this movie, a little bit in that movie.
Yep.
Okay, it looks like they're going to just say, fuck it, we're going to do the Dark Phoenix saga, and we're going to do it with this version of Jean Grey. And I'm at the point now where I'm like, I don't care. Like, you know what I mean?
Nobody liked X-Men Apocalypse, but we're using this Jean Grey.
Nobody liked X-Men Apocalypse. Like, we loved First Class. I loved X-Men First Class. I also loved Days of Future Past.
I didn't hate X-Men Apocalypse.
No, I didn't hate X-Men Apocalypse, but I didn't like it.
It could have been a lot better.
I mean, I only rewatched certain scenes, but I didn't rewatch the whole movie. Like, the scene where Quicksilver is saving everyone from... Like, that's a great moment.
I rewatched the action sequences.
Yeah,
I found the action scenes satisfying.
That's the thing. X-Men Apocalypse, the action sequences were so good, but the storyline was such shit.
Yeah.
It was such shit, and they had the guy Poe Dameron from Star Wars was in it, man. What's his fuck? You know, Poe Dameron, the actor.
Poe Dameron.
What's that actor's name? If I keep saying Poe Dameron, maybe his name will pop in. Ben, nope. Nope, didn't work. Anyway, he's a great actor. Even he couldn't save it. He couldn't save X-Men Apocalypse, and he was the main villain, for fuck's sake. It's probably because he didn't look anything like himself. He looked like Apocalypse. It's like Idris Elba. Why put Idris Elba in a Star Trek movie if you're just going to cover his fucking face and head with all this prosthetic makeup shit? You know what I mean? Like, he's a tremendous actor. We want to see him. We want to see Idris Elba. We want to see these actors. But at the same time, it's a part of the character they're playing. So maybe there's a better way of doing the makeup, better way of doing the CGI. But doing the Dark Phoenix saga, I don't know, man. I mean, we had an unofficial title for the X-Men, the next X-Men film. I had it on here, but I lost it. Mm. One second. Jesus. Go away. Doesn't the internet just piss you off sometimes? As in all the times. For fuck's sake, it's called X-Men Supernova. It's Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones. Obvi. I knew that the whole time. I didn't have to spend a lot of time looking that up and just edited that really quickly, did I?
No.
No, I did not. Thank you for backing me up, Armando. So anyway, if they're going to do the Dark Phoenix saga, that's cool. Looking forward to it. Why the fuck not? You know, like if they do it right. Because that saga, you know, that's a long story, man. Jean Grey goes crazy for a long time. And she fucks everything up for the X-Men. She becomes a bad guy. Like, and she can't help it. It's like her powers are so, they're overpowering her and make her go crazy. It's just like she's gotten drunk with power and she can't help it. And even Charles Xavier can't stop her. I'm interested to see what's going to happen. I mean, I feel like Logan, here's what I think is going to happen. I feel like Logan is going to close out the old timeline and we're going to end it there. And then we're going to pick up with this new school group that came from the 80s and the 70s, you know, like the James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender crew. I think we're going to stick with them. I think Deadpool's going to probably run into them a few times here or there in his movies. But I think with the older guys, I think we're done. I think they're going to recast Wolverine. They said they're going to do that anyway. If they do, I hope it's Tom Hardy. As far as this Dark Phoenix saga goes and X-Men Supernova goes, I mean, look, like they had a chance to do the Dark Phoenix saga a long time ago.
And they didn't do it.
And they've had a chance to do a decent superhero movie with a female lead. They've had so many chances to have a female lead superhero movie for so long, and they haven't fucking done it. And they could have done it back like with X-Men, with the Jean Grey Dark Phoenix saga. They could have had that with her. Why doesn't Black Widow have a spinoff movie? You know what I mean? I bet Hawkeye will get a fucking spinoff movie before Black Widow does. Like, and we're finally getting a Wonder Woman movie now.
That's funny.
I'm just pissed off that we're just now.
I wonder what the Black Widow movie would be like.
It would be badass. It would be like a spy movie, dude. It'd be like James Bond, but if James Bond were a sexy lady in a fucking leather jumpsuit. How cool is that?
They could make it like a current day Aeon Flux.
Fuck Aeon Flux. It'd be like an even better version. Aeon Flux is a lesser quality than any of the anime I've ever seen in my life. I'm doing Aeon Flux, really, sir? How dare you reference Aeon Flux to me? But yeah, I mean that's where I'm standing on this Stizori as far as Sophia Turner confirming her return as Jean Grey. I think that's cool. I think it's cool that they're going to continue with the current cast, giving them more of a chance. We'll see where it goes from there. But I feel like Logan's going to close out the last old school story, and then we're going to move on with the new guys, and that's it. And then we'll get a new Wolverine, and everyone's going to be all weird about it, and then whatever.
Maybe the next Wolverine will actually be short.
Yeah, maybe it won't suck.
Suck it, Hugh.
Yeah, take it, Hugh Jackman. No, that's mean. I love him as Wolverine. Yeah. I actually liked the Wolverine. That was good. And X-Men Origins Wolverine was shit, but there were good moments in it. I mean, even I can recognize there were good moments in it. Regardless, here we go. Last bit of news here, you guys. And this is a big one, and I saved the big one for last. This is going to be interesting. All right. Thor Ragnarok director Takai Waititi, alongside co-director Mark Gustafson, will be helming a movie.
Are you just making names up?
No, these are real names, and how dare you insult the names of these people. You know, in their countries of origins. Takai Waititi and Mark Gustafson, along with Mr. Tibbins and Gil Garoy, will be helming a movie. These are real people, Armando. Why are you laughing at their names? These are their real names. Tom Bombadil and Bubbles the Chimp is true. Get this, dude. So Mark Gustafson, Takai Waititi, and they're all real names, will be helming a movie, get this, about Michael Jackson's famous pet monkey, Bubbles. Apparently the movie is called Bubbles. The film will be stop-motion animation, and it'll be directed through Dan Harmon's Starburn Industries. Of course Dan Harmon's involved in this fucking movie. It's a stop motion animation movie about Michael Jackson's pet monkey Bubbles. How the fuck is this not going to be hilarious and the best thing ever? We got Charlie Kaufman's Animalsia, Adult Swim's Moral Oral, and stop motion Christmas episode of Community. So all these people who are working on it work in stop motion animation. They're like the forefront of that. They also work on Robot Chicken, so like they know what they're doing and they know right. how to make it look cool. They know how to do like pretty serious comedy. Here's what TT had to say about the project. It's an idea that fascinates me and one I want to develop further. Most people know I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan, so the main thing for me is to make sure it's respectful of him and his legacy. I'm not interested in making a biopic about a monkey. What? Sorry. I'm not interested in making a biopic. I want to focus on telling a story that blends fact and fantasy about an animal trying to make sense of the world. This film is not about Michael Jackson because that's not a story for me to tell or a story I'd be comfortable telling. It's about a chimpanzee's fascinating journey through the complex jungle of human life. Also, I think animation is the only way to approach a story like this. Look, man, whatever you want, I want to see this fucking movie, all right? I really loved Anomalisa, because it was beautiful and authentic in its meditation on loneliness. I'm really excited to be working with Dan Harmon and Star Burns as we share similar sensibilities and want to tell human stories in unique and artistic ways. This sounds fucking brilliant. I'm sorry, but this sounds fucking brilliant. They're going to do a stop-motion animation story about the life of Bubbles, the chimpanzee that Michael Jackson owned. That's fucking brilliant. I mean, I can't think of like a more like random like artistic yeah. way of like telling the story of an artist that kind of may have fallen to madness, who knows, and the story of an animal in a human world, you know, like who right. knows, man? Maybe there's some parallels between Bubbles' life and Michael Jackson's life, you know, like they felt like they were. Their childhood was stolen. Like, who knows what parallels they may draw between the two? Like, I don't know, but I'm like, I'm fascinated by this. And to use stop motion animation is going to be really creepy, but it's yeah. going to be really cool too. It's going to be like the in an odd way. It's kind of the only way you could tell this story between you know about like you know someone who is like so rich and so. Like just out of their mind with wealth that they could do and buy whatever they want and right. they decide they want a chimpanzee. So they buy one and then, you know, instead of following the story of that chimpanzee through the human's eyes, you're following it through the chimpanzee's eyes.
Interesting. I wonder.
So of course that's going to look weird. So it's going to be stop motion animation.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if they'll actually have like words, spoken words.
Like Michael Jackson will just sound like,
yeah.
I love you. Be like, what? And Bubbles would sound. And Bubbles is going to have to be voice acted by Sir Anthony Hopkins, obviously. Michael seemed upset that day. I wanted to cheer him up, but I didn't know how. I didn't know what was wrong with Michael. Like, I already see it. Like, I can already see this thing coming together. It's brilliance. Hollywood has struck gold yet again, Armando. They've done it again. What are your thoughts on Bubbles? the movie.
I'll give it a watch. I'll probably.
Fuck yeah. How can you not? This sounds amazing.
I might wait for the Netflix, though, myself.
Well, it may be a direct VOD kind of a situation. If it comes out in theaters, I have a feeling it's going to be a limited release.
Yeah.
If it comes out in theaters. But goddamn, do I really want to see this movie? Oh, it just looks too good to be true, Armando Aranda. But yeah, that's we're rounding up our nerd update here, guys. As we're rounding it up, let's get our final thoughts here. So we are down for this movie. Yes, we think sounds like fun. Do you think that this is? I mean, Dan Harmon's involved. Do you think they're going to try and twist this into a weird like let's rip on Michael Jackson? And question: do you think we should rip on Michael Jackson now, like that he's passed away? Like, do you think we should be joking about him like this and talking about his monkey and like his personal life? I know when I say that it sounds suggestive, but, you know, legitimately we're talking about his chimpanzee.
Right.
Like, do you think that's exploitative? Do you think that's unfair to him as a person? I mean, I guess it's all in how it's done, right?
Yeah, it's all in how it's done. I mean, they said they'll be respectful. I mean, I trust them on that.
You still want to see it. I mean,
yeah,
I do.
Yeah, I want to see it, yeah. I don't think anything should be taken too seriously.
Interesting. I like that.
But Yeah, I mean, I could see how, you know, like joking about like Michael Jackson be like, I mean, too soon even now, you know?
Yeah, it I mean, to joke about it, yeah. I mean, I guess if they treat it with reverence and they don't like say, wow, he was a real fucking freak. Like, I what if they went with the whole like, this is a tragic figure, you know? Yeah. This was a man who didn't get to have a childhood. Whose childhood right. was, it was stolen from him, you right. know, he was forced to, and then, you know, you hear the stories about him, like, right. he was lying in bed while his brothers were, like, getting it on with groupies and stuff, and you just, you know, and you, like, you feel sorry for the guy, you know, like, because, like, he got trapped in this life, and it right. really sucks that happened to him, but at the right. same time, he wanted to be an artist,
and his dad,
Joe Jackson, fucking beating the shit out of his kids, man. And then Michael having to, like,
and psychologically break free, abusing, yeah.
And then having to break free and be independent. And then, of course, as soon as he breaks free and he's independent, like, I'm not, like, if he did anything wrong, and yeah, of course, we're talking about Michael Jackson, so it's going to happen. I don't know how we got on it. Well, because of this documentary, it's bound to happen. If whatever happened with Michael Jackson, I don't know what happened. If it happened and if he's guilty of that shit that happened, I mean, that's between him and God at this point now. That's between him. Like, he's gone now. So if there is a God, if there is an afterlife, that's between him and whatever, like, peace he has to make in the hereafter, you know, and the families right. that have to deal with it if it happened. If it didn't happen, then this guy was subjected to torture, right. social torture for no reason right. other than he was just a weird guy
right.
if it didn't happen.
Right.
But if it did, but the thing is, he's dead now, so we'll never fucking know.
Right.
We'll never know the truth.
Yeah.
Definitively.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby, we know the truth. Do we know the truth about Bill Cosby definitively? They should do a stop motion animated movie about Bill Cosby now. No, wait. You know what? Let's not touch that. Let's back it up, Mike. Back it up, Mike. We're getting a little crazy on this nerd update, Mike. Let's back it up now. Oh, boy. Talk about the Phil Spector. Let's do a CGI Phil Spector movie. No, that's horrible. I'll stop. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I guess I agree with you on that, Armando. I mean, it's going to be hard to do something with reverence and with love when it's like a claymation, stop motion animation thing with a monkey. And they're talking about Michael Jackson. It's going to be hard to not kind of find the humor in that.
No, I mean, I think well, it's Dan Harmon. Like,
it's Dan Harmon.
There's going to be humor in it.
You're right. There will be humor in it,
but
regardless.
I think they're going to try to make it a tearjerker, though.
Yeah,
that'd be
pretty great. You know, like, it would be interesting because, you know, again, we don't know what direction they're going with this. But if they approach it with the sympathetic angle and the sort of, you know, like, hey, this was a human being too, you know,
right.
and he may have been a weirdo, but he was a fucking person. And, you know, like who knows what happened to him? Like, we'll never know the truth. And if nothing happened, then the biggest tragedy is that he had to suffer with this stigma for the rest of his life, even if he didn't do it.
Right.
You know, but if he did do it, then, you know, he never really truly, like, got the justice that he deserved.
Right.
So it's kind of it's a mixed bag, man, whenever you talk about Michael Jackson's life, you know. But at the end of the day, the guy made great music, he made a lot of people happy, and he changed a lot of people's lives. And for that, he is a legend and an icon.
Right.
But I don't know what he did in his personal life. I can't speak for that. That's between him and Jesus. Him and the Lord. Yes. The Lord Jesus. That's between
God have mercy.
And may God have mercy on his soul. But regardless, that's going to do it for this nerd update, you guys. One last tidbit. Apparently, not only did Ben Affleck drop out of... we just got this news recently.
This just in.
In my ear. I got something in my ear, and it's a little bit of wax. Came out. This just in. We found out that not only is Ben Affleck dropping out of directing the Batman movie, he is possibly dropping out of playing Batman.
Mm.
Yeah,
it's like, fuck you.
I thought I was pissed off at DC. Even Batman's pissed off at Warner Brothers in DC. Even Batman wants to leave. He's like, I don't want to be Batman anymore. Why?
CGI
you guys aren't fun.
CGI Batman.
Yeah, we'll just CGI you in, Ben Affleck. Fuck you. Aw, man. You signed a contract. Technically, he did. He signed a 9-picture contract.
Wow.
He's done 2. He did Suicide Squad and... Batman versus Superman.
Yep.
He's going to do a third one with Justice League.
Right.
So technically he has 6 left. He's trying to get out of his contract.
Right.
He's negotiating with Warner Brothers. It turned out that he's not going to be able to direct the Batman. I guess he doesn't want to be in it because the director they got is just going to do whatever Warner Brothers wants him to do. And,
right.
and Ben Affleck doesn't want to just be their fucking bitch boy puppet. Like he kind of wanted to direct that movie and they kind of screwed him. So, you know, why would he want to stay on as the Batman in the movie he was going to direct? Let someone else direct him. And the whole time he's thinking, I could have done a better job.
Right.
I would have done this, like if they would have given me a chance.
The suits and the focus groups.
But unfortunately, you know, I'm an Oscar-worthy filmmaker. I'm 4 for 4 on writing, directing, and starring in my own films.
Right.
And you're not going to let me write and direct and star in a Batman movie after I please the audiences as playing Batman? Go fuck yourselves. Like, fuck your contract. Like, you know what? I'm going to go and make Argo 2. Go fuck yourselves. I don't, you know, he's got that carte blanche now. And then they fucked him over too. I'm sorry, but they did.
Yeah.
And the audiences, the film audiences as well, and Jared Leto, everybody. Like they fucked everyone over. DC just needs to like be in charge of their own movies. Warner Brothers needs to just let them do their own thing. If they lose Ben Affleck as Batman,
right.
What do you do then? What do you do when you lose your Batman? You know, like you base your whole universe around this one central character and then you piss off the actor that plays him and he could also be the director and the writer. And this guy is your centerpiece. He is your keystone for this franchise. And if he decides to walk and get out of it, it crumbles.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be more hardcore Batman fans these days than Superman.
You're not going to have a Justice League 2. Like Ben Affleck is in Justice League. You're not going to have a Justice League 2 with Ben Affleck if he drops out.
Maybe they could get George Clooney back in.
Oh, man. If only we can only wish that they would be. George Clooney was a good Batman. He was just in the wrong movie. If him and Val Kilmer swapped movies, it would have been a better situation all around. But think about it. If George Clooney was in Batman Forever, it would have been a way better movie. And if Val Kilmer was in Batman and Robin, it would have been a way funnier movie. It would have been way funnier with Val Kilmer. Think about it. He would have been like, he would have gotten the humor. He would have been like, this is stupid. Come on. Like, whereas George Clooney was trying really hard in a shitty movie.
Yeah.
And Val Kilmer wasn't trying hard in a good movie.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But again, go back, millennials, and watch Batman Forever and whatever the other Batman was, Batman and Robin, if you want a good laugh. But yeah, that's going to do it for this nerd update. I mean, what do you think? Ben Affleck, do you think he should leave? Here's my thing. I think Ben Affleck should say, fuck you, Warner Brothers. I'm leaving. I don't think he should stick around as Batman.
Isn't that what he's doing?
He's thinking about leaving. He's playing with the idea. I think he's negotiating with the studio, and he's using this as a tactic.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's doing the
to
right thing.
To get his way. I think that's smart because I think he knows better than they do.
But yeah.
As a filmmaker, he's a better filmmaker. I'm sorry, he is.
Right.
Warner Brothers just produces films. They don't fucking direct, write, and star in them. You know what I mean? They just produce them. Right. He does all aspects of that, and they won't let him do his own. I mean, come on, dude. It seems ridiculous, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And they let Chris Nolan do whatever he wanted. Chris Nolan got to make the Joker cut up his face, you know? Whether or not he cut up his face or his dad did it or what, we don't know. But, like, they fucking made the Joker look like a nightmare clown from your nightmares, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right.
Like, and then the fucking, now the Joker looks like an East LA punk. He just looks like some fucking, like, I don't know, like some heroin addict, you know, like some junkie, like, doesn't even look like the Joker anymore. Like, all I'm saying is that if they lose Ben Affleck, they're fucked.
Right.
They
right.
really are. They're just going to have to, like, start over again, or they're just going to have to take the characters they have, wait a little while, and recast Batman. Which just... Or do Nightwing or do Batman Beyond. You know Batman Beyond where they had Terry McGinnis come in? It was Batman's an old man.
Yeah,
he can't be Batman anymore.
It.
Recruits young Batman. Yep. Terry McGinnis is young Batman. So get young Batman. If Ben Affleck drops out, then why don't we do that?
Yeah, sure.
That's all I'm saying. I'm just pissed off at Warner Brothers. Not DC. I love DC. I love Batman. I love all those characters. But again, we've run out of time in this nerd update because we've gone way over. Just to do quick recap on what the hell we were talking about, we started off our nerd update talking about the untitled Han Solo Star Wars anthology film. Still no title, but we do know that Thandie Newton from Westworld is going to be playing a love interest in this with Alden Ehrenreich and probably Donald Glover as well. That'd be a cool love triangle. Then we got Bill and Ted 3, motherfuckers. Right. It's got to happen. Come on, Hollywood. Come on. Make it happen. You know you want it. You know you want it, you filthy whore, Hollywood. And then, of course, Halloween. That's right. We're getting a soft reboot, not only from an actual, like, you know, like, good filmmaker and director David Gordon Green, but a fucking ridiculous human being and amazing talent, Danny McBride. Halloween is going to be remade by Danny McBride and David Gordon Green with the blessings of John Carpenter. That's news to my ears, folks. I'm happy with that. And well, after that, we got Sophie Turner saying that pretty much almost verifying Dark Phoenix is going to be the next thing. The Dark Phoenix saga is going to be in Supernova. Great. X-Men Supernova. What do you think? You want to see Dark Phoenix?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, we'll check it out. The next X-Men film is going to be Logan. It's related to X-Men, at least. And that'll hit theaters March 3rd, 2017. Finally, probably the best article of the day. The director of Thor Ragnarok, Takai Waititi, is going to make a stop-motion animation film based upon the life of Bubbles, the monkey, excuse me, the chimpanzee, that pop star Michael Jackson once owned. It's going to be the greatest film ever made. And that is how we are going to end our Nerd Update, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Armando Aranda, for joining me again at the Awesome Pad. Don't forget, we're live at Soundcast once a week. Hit them up at SoundcastFM. Hit us up at Team Awesome Inc. Like that Facebook page. Download, subscribe for free on iTunes as well as Podomatic. Also, YouTube, Simmer Mike. Hit us up at Simmer Mike. Check out our trailer reactions. A lot of cool shit. And that's going to do it. Armando Aranda, final words?
Yes.
Well said.
Yes.
Well said, sir. Good day, people.
This has been Team Awesome. Team Awesome. What a fun experience. Awesome. Well, you know we're doing it just awesome. So right.
Awesome.
We.
Here at Team Awesome, me.
Wait,
shut up.
Yeah.